In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God saves the best wine for last. What he gave Adam in the garden was good. A garden filled with life and delicacies and beauty. Another person, not simply an individual to take care of the garden with, but flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. They are not two, but they are one. What God gave was good, a tree of life, from which they might eat and live with God forever, even the tree of knowledge of good and evil. By fasting from that tree, they would live forever. What God gave to Adam and Eve was good. But you know what happened. Discontent with God's love, Adam and Eve ate what was not given to them. They thought they knew what was best for their life, for their marriage, for their world, and they were mistaken. They, one bite, plunged the entire world into sin, chaos, and death. Chaos now reigned, the devil now ruled, and death comes to all because all have sinned. What Adam and Eve pass on to their children is no longer the great goodness of God, but it's a sinful flesh. Like father, like son, like father, like daughter, this is why we call ourselves chiefly mankind. Above humans and people, we are man because we bear the sinful image of that first man, Adam. And that is manifest all too often in our words and in our life. Discontent with God's love, we too often think we know what is best for our life, for our marriage, and for this world. How often man is mistaken. One bite plunged the world into sin and death. One mistake brings pain and suffering to ourselves. It is not so much the things out there that cause us the greatest grief and rob us of joy, but is most often the way that we choose to respond to such things or how we feel about such things. It is our mistakes that make marriage bitter, our food tasteless, our lives harder, and our heads spin. Still, God fills this world with joys, so many that you cannot even count them. But they cannot last. When Adam fell, God clothed them in garments of skin. He did not give them baptism. He sent them out to work the ground from which they were taken. He did not give them a holy communion. He gave them sacrifices, but not Calvary. He gave them a promise, but not Emmanuel. He served the lesser wine first. For man must learn to live by faith, to wait, to trust, and to hope in the promises of God that a Savior is coming to bring joy and gladness. And as those centuries rolled on, he flushed out that promise to the patriarchs and to the prophets, but it remained just that, a promise. He embedded that promise in the very flesh of man in circumcision. What God gives is good. He gave them rams and the Passover lamb and sacrifices. He gave them a temple and a priesthood, walls covered with gold, carved with cherubim and with palm trees. He gave them the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, the very presence of God among men. What God gave was good, but it wasn't the best. What was given in the Old Testament is the lesser wine. It is not lesser because it fails to give the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is always in that word, but it is lesser in comparison to what God desires to give. The Old testifies to Jesus, but it doesn't really give Jesus. It foreshadows the great things to come, but it doesn't manifest those promises. Like water, the old is great, but it's not wine. Water keeps you alive. Wine gladdens the heart. The old covenant kept the believers alive as they lived on the promises of God. But the wine of the new gladdens the hearts of all. And so Jesus' first miracle is he takes water and changes it into wine, for he has come to bring about the fulfillment of the old, to make the old something new and something better by manifesting the very promises of God in his own flesh and in his actions. The Passover lamb was good. The blood of Christ is better. It has set us free not simply from one nation so we can have political freedom. It has set us free from death and the devil. It has paid for our every sin. It has accomplished the very thing that God promised of old. It is our life. It is our hope. It has satisfied the wrath of God and has quenched the fires of hell. Blessedness comes through the blood of Christ, life through the blood of Christ, hope and peace through the blood of Christ, forgiveness and heaven all through the blood of Christ. How much greater that is. The temple was good. Walls carved with cherubim and palm trees, covered in gold, floors and ceiling. The flesh of Christ is better. God is no longer restricted to one room with many checks along the way preventing people from entering God's presence, but where two or three are gathered together, there is Christ himself with all of his blessings and gifts ready to pour them out in the fullest of measures. The sacrifices were good, but Christ's sacrifice on Calvary was better. Moses and David and Elijah were good. Christ is better. He has made all things new, restored all things, and sanctified all things by his blood. The land of Canaan was good, flowing with milk and honey. The land of heaven is better, where streets are paved with gold and we see God face to face. Christ has come to bring about something new, something better. And it is found in his own blood. He has not come to give you water, but to give you wine. He has not come to simply satisfy you, but to gladden your heart. The wedding supper of the Lamb has begun, and you are invited. Joy has come, and you are its guest. Christ does not come to make you feel bad. He does not come to condemn you. He comes that you might have joy. Yes, he still preaches his law. Yes, he exposes that sinful flesh inherited from Adam. Yes, he shows how you have broken God's law and what you deserve. But the goal is not that you simply feel bad. The goal is that you are led away from yourself and to him alone who makes water wine. That you would eat and drink with him in his kingdom. He knows that sin robs you of joy and prevents you from smiling. And he wants to give you lasting joy and peace in his own blood. He preaches his law to lead you to his gospel. He knows that sin robs you of that. He knows that his blood makes your joy bubble over. The Old Testament believers had the forgiveness of sins, for no one can be saved if their sins are not forgiven. But they had it in promises. They did not have it concretely displayed for them. So look at how much God has given to you. You have the waters of baptism that wash away your every sin. You have the very blood of Christ set before you. What patriarchs, prophets, and kings could not dream of, you sip from. It is your joy and your delight. He forgives you by his word, and that is far more than enough. If we just had the word of God, we would have everything we would need for body and soul. The word is sufficient in and of itself. But God cannot help but to pour out blessings on you in many different ways. He loves you and he wants you to share in his joy. And so you also receive forgiveness in the drinking of his blood, so that your hearts may be glad and your lips may sing and your tongues might proclaim and your mouths might confess that Christ has come and has made all things new. You are not simply satisfied. You are brought into joy. You are not just sustained, you flourish. You are not just content, you abound. You are not just strengthened for your journey to the promised land, you actually partake of the new creation. You are not simply Israel, you are the temple of God. For he puts himself inside your body so that you might be his dwelling place. Wine is better than water. Wine brings joy. This blood is better than anything else, for it is your joy. And yet you do not see it fully. You have it, but you do not fully possess it or feel it. We still have some types and shadows that we live with in this world, and these are good. God still fills this world with good things. Take family, for example. A beautiful image of Christ and his church, born of water and the Spirit, we now have. A new life, a new birth, a new family. We are brothers and sisters through faith in Christ. This is our identity. God is our Father. Or marriage. God sanctifies marriage with his very presence at the wedding of Cana. A picture of Christ and his love for the church. Or food. What you eat in your home with great joy and thanksgiving is meant to lead you back to this altar. Because that food will only sustain for a couple of hours. This food sustains to eternity. This food, this company, these songs are your great joy. So the changing of water into wine is Christ's first miracle for a reason. It fully reveals why he has come. Every other miracle is defined by this first miracle. The healing of the sick, the blind, the lepers, the lame, the mute, the deaf, even the raising of the dead, all of it show what Christ has come to do, to change water into wine, to fulfill the old and to give unending joy. Not to simply fix this creation so you can have life here, but to make a new heavens and a new earth where the wine flows, my cup overflows, and where God is present with all of his goodness and his love. God has kept the best until now. So come, take and drink, and share in the joy of the new creation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.